Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Nun Beis, and we will begin on Daf Nun Beis, Nun Aleph on the Beis, the last words of Rabbi Shmuel. At the end of the previous shiur, we had learned that Rabbi Kiva, from the words Es Avia HaMichaleles, taught us that a Kayan's daughter, who is not married, is not subject to the din of Sreifa if she has improper relations. And as the Rishonim go on to explain, we had learnt the opinion of the Rabbanon, who used the Pasuk of Es Avia to teach us a Gzeirah Shava between Skila and Sreifa, to teach us that just like Skila is considered a more severe punishment than Saif, so too is Sreifa considered a more severe punishment than Sreifa. Rav Shimon had used the Gzeirah Shava to teach us that the din of Sreifa of a Bas Kayan applies both to Arusa and to Nesua. But Rabbi Shmuel, who, as we had learned in the previous shiur, did not rely on the Gzeirah Shava, but rather used the Binyan Av to teach us that an Arusa Bas Kayan gets Sreifa, and an Nesua Bas Kayan, according to Rabbi Shmuel, gets the same punishment as a Nesua Bas Yisrael, meaning Chenek. So the words of Asaviya HiMichaleles remain superfluous, and therefore asked the Gemara, my Dorish Bey, what does he use these words to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Miboyle Chretanya. It's needed to teach us what Rameya would teach, and many Rishonim point out that even though this Brisa is being taught by Rameya, it's not to say that it's only Rameya who holds the din that we're about to learn, but rather everybody agrees to this din. Matam Aloymer, what does the Torah mean with the words Es Avia HiMichaleles? To teach a Shemhaya Noigim and Kaidish, that if the father was treated Kaidish, now Noigim Mechoyel, he's not treated Kaidish anymore. Kovid Noigim Abizoyin. If he was treated with Kovid, he's treated with contempt. Imrim, Orish is a Yolod, Orish is a Gidl. People say about this person, cursed is he who had such children, Orish Yotazem Michalotov, that he had such a child. So sort of the Torah Tamima asks that, what two questions? What does it mean Shim Hayanoigim and Kaddish if he was treated with as Kaddish? Is it optional? We know that the Torah says the Vikidashtoi, that a Kohen must be treated with Kedusha. What does the Gemara mean Shim Shim if? Furthermore, they ask, what is this double lashon that the Gemara is using Kaddish and Kovid? So some Mefarshim I saw suggest that Kodesh represents the Madrega a person attains by himself for acting appropriately, and Kovid represents what he attains for the way he raised his children. And therefore, here, the Kayan, whose daughter unfortunately was Mezana, no longer is worthy of his own kavod, and certainly not for kavod that he would get for raising good children. That's one pshat that I saw. However, another pshat that I saw is that there's a din, we know, that one has to show respect to a kayin, the kidashtoy, as I just said. But there's also a din that one has to show kavod to a Talmud Chacham. So if this Kayin is both a Kayin and Talmud Chacham, Shemahay Noigim and Kaidish, Noigim Mechayil, we now no longer have to show him Kedusha or Kavod, both as a Kayin and as a Talmud Chacham, because he had such a child. However, there's a fundamental Machloikis Rishonim. Most other Rishonim, and this is what the Mordechai quotes, that the Gemara that's saying that we don't show him Kavod doesn't mean that we're not allowed to show him Kavod. We're not obligated to show him kavod. And that is, in fact, the opinion of the Rama, that not that the Gemara is saying that it's absolutely prohibited from showing him kavod, we're not obligated to show him kavod. Furthermore, I saw interesting machloikis achroinim. The Magen Avraham says that it's specifically in this Aveira that the Gemara is discussing, the Aveira of Znus, where the halacha is that we don't have to show respect to a Kayan who has such a daughter. But if a Kayan has a daughter who doesn't act appropriately, then this halacha will not apply. The Shas of Tshuva Sfas Yaakov disagrees, and he says under all circumstances we don't have to show kavod to somebody whose daughter, a Kayan's daughter who doesn't act appropriately. He actually says it's not a very relevant question. He says because if the Kayan's daughter is not acting appropriately, it probably is because it will include that she's not acting morally, and therefore even the Magen Avraham would agree that kavod doesn't have to be shown to such a kayin. And the reason the Mefarshim give, the Taz gives, why is the Aveira of Znus singled out? He seems to say that if a kayin has a daughter who is acting immorally, other Averis we don't necessarily attribute to the father, that it's the parent's fault, that the father's fault that the child acted this way. But he seems to suggest that when it comes to the Aveira of immorality of Znus, if there's a child that acts in that way, that shows that there's an issue with the parents. The Mishnah Brura, however, points out that this halacha doesn't apply nowadays, and certainly if unfortunately someone has such a child, it's not to mean that we should degrade him in his covenant in any way. Although I did see from the Marie Merbruna that says that in terms of an appointing someone to be a Shliach Tzibur, we should not l'chatchila appoint somebody to be a Shliach Tzibur who has children who are acting inappropriately, particularly in the Aveira of Znus. However, again, the Paiskim say, if it's a situation where where there's nobody better to be a Shliach Tzibur, then we can continue allowing such an individual to be a Shliach Tzibur. Continues the Gemara, Amar Avasi, command Korean Rishi by Rishi, according to whom do we call somebody a Rasha, the son of a Rasha, even though he indeed is really a Rishi by Tzadikah, he's really a son of a Tzadik? Says the Gemara, command Kaitana, it follows this Tana that says that if somebody's child is acting inappropriately, we don't have to give him any covet anymore either. And in fact, I saw a very interesting question. If someone has a father who is not acting appropriately, how should that person be called up to the Torah? So the Trumas Hadeshin says he should not be called up by his father's name, given that his father's name, father is a Rasha. He should be called up by his grandfather's name. However, the Maram Mipadava says that is only in a situation where he wasn't previously called up by his father's name. But if until now he was called up by his father's name, and now we're going to change and start calling him up by his grandfather's name, it'll be obvious, and we don't want to embarrass him, because he didn't do anything wrong, even though his father perhaps acted inappropriately, and therefore we should continue calling him by his father's name. Furthermore, he says, we certainly can't call him by his name alone without mentioning his father or grandfather's name, because that would certainly be very embarrassing that everybody's called up by their father's name and he's not called up, just called up by his name without a forebearer's name mentioned. The Mefarshim, particularly the Mabit, is very bothered with this Gemara. Our Gemara seems to put a heavy blame on a parent whose child acted inappropriately. In fact, the Gemara seems to suggest we could call him Rasha ben Rasha. Asks the Mabit that we find in the Torah that even the Avos, Avram and Yitzchak, Avram had a son Yishmael, Yitzchak had a son Esav. So how could we say that somebody who has a child that unfortunately doesn't act appropriately could be called a Rasha? So one Teretzi says that by tzaddikim gemurim, like the Ovis and others, the rules are different. Another concept he suggests is that if a tzaddik not only is a tzaddik but he's also a Talmud Chacham, then we have no right to call him a Rasha even if he has a child who acts inappropriately. Another pshat that he says that is if the father is still alive, that's what our Gemara is suggesting, we could call him Rasha ben Rasha. But if the father is no longer alive, we're not allowed to chas v'shalom say anything bad after Talmud Chacham passes away. Another pshat that he says is that only if the person is a well-known Rasha, otherwise we can't call somebody a Rasha ben Rasha. Another pshat is that it's only Bezdin that has a right to use these titles. A regular person has no right to use these titles. Unless they know, because they can't be sure what the right thing to do is. Other Rishonim suggest it's only when we're speaking about the child who's a tzaddik, who's a Rasha, I mean, and we want to degrade him, so we call him a Rasha ben Rasha. But certainly when we're speaking about the father and his own, we certainly don't call him a Rasha just because he has a child who unfortunately is a Rasha. Continues the Gemara. Zu mitzvos haniskalim. The Mishnah concluded with the word Zu mitzvos haniskalim. Man tana detani zu mitzvos haniskalim. Why does the Mishnah use the words Zu mitzvos haniskalim? Answers the Gemara. Mishum detana. Because we already learned in the previous parak. Nigma adin maitzin aysay lasaklai. That if the person was sentenced to skila, he was taken out to the skila. And we learn more details about skila. The base of skila, how you give us the claim that the base of skila was the height of two heights of an individual. Now that we're about to learn the next Mishnah, for either the Kabbalah mitzvah, the mitzvahs and the srafim, we're about to begin learning the next Mishnah, which teaches us the halacha of mitzvahs and the srafim. So tananami zu mitzvahs and the skolim, we conclude the Mishnah with saying mitzvahs and the skolim to say that we now are concluding learning the halacha of the niskolim, and we're about to begin to learn the halacha of the nisrafim. And indeed, says the Mishnah, mitzvahs and the srafim, how was Sefer administered? He was put into manure up to his knees. Why was he put into manure up to his knees? Posh pshat is that he shouldn't be able to move around, and therefore the lead that we're going to discuss was poured into his body should be able to be poured easily and quickly, because as we're going to learn, we want to cause the death to happen as quickly as possible. Furthermore, the Rishonim suggest that we, in all the different mises that we're about to learn, besides Skila, that we have already completed learning, they wanted to make the way the misa was administered as uniform as possible. And since in the other cases that we learned, the halacha is that it was done, we're going to learn the Mishnayis that Hayimashkinoi Soi Bezevel. So here too, they put him into Zevel Adar Kuvaisov. V'noisnin, continues the Mishnah, Sudakash L'toich Haraka V'karech Atzavorei. They would put a hard piece of material into a soft piece of material and put it around his neck. Why was it done this way? So the Rishonim give a number of explanations. We particularly want that the soft piece of material should be on the outside, because we don't want that if there'll be a hard piece of material, it may cause his neck to get cut, and we certainly don't want to be debase him. Moreover, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the most opinions are that Misa Sreifa was administered in a way that it was Sreifa's neshuma, the guf kayim, the guf had to remain whole, and if he was, and if we did it this way, it wouldn't be guf kayim. And again, the simplest reason is we want to make it, as the Gemara said, and we'll say, for haftal reach kamaicha brar lo misa yofa, we want to make it as painless as possible. So if so, why do we have just a soft material? Why do we also have the hard material? So for this, the Rishonim explain, because we want to do it as quickly as possible. And with a soft material, it's going to take longer to get him to open up his mouth. Furthermore, with a soft piece of material, there's a greater chance that it's going to tear. And we want to, again, be able to do it quickly without any tearing. The two Edim are the ones that pull this piece of material. Again, the Mefarshim explain, given that we've explained always that the primary responsibility of administering the death sentence is on the Edim, this is considered part of that procedure, and therefore they are the ones that pull the material. Actually, if the Pesach is Piv, in order that he should open up his mouth, at that point, Madlak Sapsila, again, it's one of the Edim who should melt the lead, Vizarkal Takpiv, and throw it into his mouth. Viradis Latakmev, it goes into his stomachs, Vichamer Vesbemev, and burns his intestines. Rabbi Hudaimer, Rabbi Huda says, Af im hu meis biyodam, there's a real concern, says Rabbi Huda, that if we're going to start with this process of the material, he may die of strangulation. And we know that this person is not chayiv chenik. He's supposed to get sreifa. And therefore, we don't want him to die this way. And therefore, this is not the appropriate way of opening up his mouth. And because if we would do it this way, we perhaps will end up with a situation of lo hayu mekayim bar mitzvah sreifa, that we won't have administered the punishment that he's supposed to get of sreifa. We force his mouth open with tongs or madlik sapsila, and again we pour the lead. I recall an incident with a bas kohen who is mezana that we've been learning in our shurim. She is mechuyev sreifa. She was surrounded with bundles of branches and she was burnt, and we see, so he says, we see that's the way sreif is administered. So the Chacham told him, actually that bezdin, as we're going to learn, the Gemara will teach us, was a bezdin of tzedakim, and they actually, he said, acted inappropriately. That's not the way sreif is supposed to be accomplished. My psila, asked the Gemara, what does it mean a wick? As Mefarshim explained, it certainly doesn't mean a regular wick. If you're going to put a wick into somebody's body, he's not going to die. Answers the Gemara, Amra Masna, it means a psila shel aver. It means that they melt lead, and that lead is poured into the person's body that we learned will cause ultimately his entire intestines to burn. Menolam. How do we know that that is the way, asks the Gemara, that sreif is supposed to be done? Answers the Gemara, ask your sreif is sreif from Adas Kairach. We learn Xer Shava from the Adas Kairach that were burnt. Malahalan, says the Gemara, sreif is neshama v'guf kayim. Their body, their insides were burnt, and the neshama was extinguished, but their bodies were left whole. Afkan, the way sreif is supposed to be administered by Bezdin, is sreif is neshama v'guf kayim. Rabbi Lazar Amar, ask your sreif is sreif of Bnei Aharon. We know the incident of the Nadav and Avihu, and we learn from them, Malahalan, it was sreif is neshama v'guf kayim. So too, by Bezdin, it's supposed to be Afkan sreif is neshama v'guf kayim. Ask the Gemara, Man the Yolch Medas Kairach Menolei, and the Mandom that learns from Kairach, how do we indeed know that that was the way their Sreifa was? The Ksiv answers the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, Machtos HaChatoim Eila B'Nafshoisom. It was only the nafshaisam that was destroyed. Nisraf nishmasam nisrafes v'guf kayim. Vidach. Why doesn't the other man, the Amma, learn from Adas Kairach? He says, actually, he holds that Adas Kairach was Sreif Mamashi, were actually completely burnt. I, umay ben nafshaisam. What does he use? Was he used? How does he explain the word nafshaisam? Shenischayvu Sreifa aliske nafshaisam. What the pasuk means to say was that they were mechuyv Sreifa for what they did to people's neshamas. Kirei Shlokish, as Reish Lakish taught us, Damer Reish Lakish Shmaid Ksiv, a pasuk in Tehillim that refers to Adas Kairach, Mat Bechanfei Lag Morig Chork Olai Shinema, with flattery and mockery, just for a piece of bread, Moig means a loaf of bread, caused my teeth to grind. Veshil Chanufa Shechnifa LeKairach Aleske LeGima. The way Kairach was able to get people to follow him was he fed them, he dined them, and he gave them to drink, and because of that they fell into Gehenim. Charak aleim sar shel Gehenim shinavs. So according to him, the Adas Kairach were completely burnt, and that's why he learns rather from the Bnei Aharon. Ask the Gemara, and how do we indeed know, how does Rabbi Lezer indeed know that the Bnei Aharon's death, that Bnei Aharon's Sreifa was Sreifas Neshama v'guf Kayim? Or man the Yolof Bnei Aharon Menolei, that that was the way their Misa took place? The Ksiv, because the Pasuk says V'yemusul Fnei Hashem, which means Ki'ein Misa. It was like a regular death. When a person normally dies, that he dies with the Shama goes out, but the Guf remains whole. Vidach, and the other man, Dama, why doesn't he learn from Bnei Aharon? He says, the man Dama that learns from Bnei Adas Kairach actually learns that the Bnei Aharon Sreifa Mamish Havoy actually had a real Sreifa. Maidik Siv V'yimusu. I, the Pasuk says V'yimusu, which seems to indicate that they had the same type of Misa like everyone else has. Answers the Gemara. What it means was the Aschubu Megavoy Kemisa. It started from the inside like a regular death. But whereas most people, when they pass on, it's only the neshama that it gets extinguished. The guf remains. Here, they were completely burnt. The Tanya, Abi Yosi ben Destoy Omer, Shnei Chutn Shel Eis, Yotzer Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, two things of fire, two strings of fire came out from the Kodesh Kedoshim, and they would then divide it to four. V'nachal kol arba, v'nesnaim chayim b'chayt mishalzu. Two went into the nostrils of Nodav, v'shtaim b'chayt mishalzu, and two into the nostrils of Aviu, v'sarfim, and they were then completely burnt. Ask the Gemara, v'ksiv oisam, v'toichal oisam. The fire burnt them, which seems to indicate that only they were burnt. Then something, only a part of them was burnt, which seems to indicate that only the neshama was burnt, nothing else. Answered the Gemara, no, that's not what the pasuk means. What the pasuk is coming to eliminate is oisam v'loy b'gdeim. That they, their neshama and their bodies were burnt. It was their clothing that wasn't burnt. Ask Taisvis to teach us that their clothing wasn't burnt. We already have a pasuk that says v'yisom b'kutantam. Answers Taisvis, if I would only have that pasuk, I would perhaps think that it was the ksinus and the garments of the people who were carrying them that were whole, that were but not the garments of those that perished. So it teaches us this pasuk that even the garments of those that were perished remained whole. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Sukkah. We know the pasuk says, "V'hi anoshin shohoy tmeim lenefesh adam v'lo yochlu lasas apesach." That is the parasha that teaches us that the halacha of Pesach Sheni, that there were individuals that approached Moshe Rabbeinu and said that we were tamei in Pesach Rishon, and we what lama nigara, we don't want to lose the opportunity to bring a carbon Pesach. So the Gemara Masechta Sukkah debates who were those individuals. One man Dama says it was Noisei Aroinei Shal Yosef, the people that carried the Aron of Yosef out of Mitzrayim. But there's another opinion that it says it was the individuals that carried out Nadav and Avihu. Ask the Mefarshim, according to the opinion that we're learning now, that Nadav and Avihu were completely consumed. The halacha is that a mess that's Rachmana Litzlan completely consumed is not metame. So why did these individuals, were they not able to bring Karban Pesach? So I saw a number of terutzim to this question. One teretz is that Shildon Kayemis, the skeleton still remained, and therefore they were metame. Along the same lines, Rive Minyan and Binyan of their bones remained, and that's why they did not become tame. Another teretz, very much in line with what we're learning here in the Gemara, is the way their death took place was first, it took place in steps. At first their neshama expired, and therefore the begadim, the garments that they were wearing became tamei, and therefore the people who carried them out became tamei, not from the bodies that were completely consumed, rather because of the clothing that our Gemara just taught us did remain whole. Yet another shot that I saw is actually the machloikis in Masechta Sukkah is connected to the machloikis here in Masechta Sanhedrin. Meaning, the man d'amar in Masechta Sanhedrin is Sukkah, who says that it was the Noisei Aroinu Shel Yosef that were requesting what should we do with Karban Pesach, holds like the man d'amar in our Gemara that Nadav and Avihu were completely consumed. So since Nadav and Avihu were completely consumed, Mishal and Eli Tzofen, who carried them out, did not become tamei. So who were the people that were tamei and couldn't bring the Karban Pesach? It was the people that carried the Aron of Yosef. On the other hand, the Gemara, the man d'amar, in our Gemara, who says that they weren't completely consumed, and therefore the individuals, Mishal Eli Tzofen, who carried them out, became tamei, will be the man d'amar in Masechta Sukkah, that says there were the people that carried out Nadav and Avihu, who came to Moshe, what should we do? We became tamei. Ask the Gemara, instead of learning from Aaron and from Kairach, why not learn from Parim HaNisrofim? We spoke earlier that in our Masechta that there are certain Parim, Par Helm Davish Tzibur, Par Koy Mashiach, that part of the process is that they have to be completely burnt, and they're burnt not completely Malahal and Sreif Mamish, Afkan Sreif Mamish. And as Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question, the Gemara's question is because we would now have two reasons to learn that burning means complete burning. Parim and Nisrofim, and either Bnei Aaron or Adas Kairich, each bandama holds that the other one situation was a complete burning. Answers the Gemara, Mistabra Me'odim Havel Melef, it makes more sense to learn from a person, Shekain Odom, it makes more sense to learn from Bnei Aaron or Adas Kairich because we're referring to people. We're referring to a situation of a chayta, a person who did an aveira. Neshama, we're referring to where the burning is causing the neshama to expire. Whereas by the parim and the srofim, it was the shechita that caused the neshama to expire. The burning came only later. And by kabbonis, there's a possibility for pigel, that the kohen has an improper machshava as he's bringing karbon. Whereas we don't have such a possibility by Adas Kairach or Bnei Haran or by a person who's Mechuyev Sreifa. Answers the Gemara, Adarabba, Miparam and Asrafim have a little melev. It makes more sense to learn from Parim and Asrafim, Shekein Machshir. Both of these situations are situations where we're fulfilling what Hashem said, versus Adas Kairach and Bnei Haran, it was Hashem himself who carried out the punishment. And furthermore, Parim and Asrafim and Mises Sreifa apply Ladairus to future generations, whereas Adas Kairach and Bnei Haran were one-time events. Answers the Gemara, Hadach Nefishin. Still, there are more common denominators, commonality, common characteristics with Adas Kairach or Bnei Haran versus Parim and Asrafim, and that's why we learn from Adas Kairach or Bnei Haran. Ask Taisus, why did the Gemara also say that Parim and Asrafim bring Kapara? Misa Sreifa brings Kapara, whereas Adas Kairach and Bnei Aaron aren't a concept of kapara. Tosfos doesn't answer the question. However, many Rishonim suggest that by Adas Korach and Bnei Aaron, their Misa also brought a kapara. And therefore, since they also brought a kapara, therefore, that is common denominator by all of these things, and doesn't there's no difference. Ask the Gemara, Man the Yol of Medas Korach. According to Man Dama that learns from Medas Korach, my Tama Loyal from Bnei Aaron, why did he prefer to learn from Medas Korach rather from Bnei Aaron? Answers the Gemara, because he holds that Bnei Aaron, Hahu Strefa Mamashavoy, he holds that it was a complete burning. So ask the Gemara, if indeed it was a complete burning, why not learn from Bnei Aaron versus learning from Medas Korach? Bnei Lef Mino answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avu, Amar Kra, V'hafta L'Reacha Kamaycha. The Torah says, V'hafta L'Reacha Kamaycha, and Bra Loi Misa Yofa. Try to give him the least painful death, and this is certainly less painful when he just the Shema is expired versus completely burning him. The Machlok is how to understand V'hafta L'Reacha Kamaycha. One pshat is posh pshat. We should try to always be as kind to another person as possible. Mefarshim go on to say that the Torah specifically uses the word l'rayacha rather than l'chaveirecha to teach us that even if this individual is ra, that even if this person is not a good individual, for hafta, we have to try to teach us, treat him as best as possible. Ask the Gemara, but now v'chime achadikad Rav Nachman. Now we've learned what Rav Nachman taught us. So gzeirah shava lomali. Why do we need a gzeirah shava to teach us how the strafe is done? Shouldn't a haftal reach kamoicha be enough of a source to teach us that that's the way misa is done, just by pouring lead into his body? Answers the Gemara. Ilav gzeirah shava. If we didn't have the gzeirah shava, have a mina strafe neshama v'guf kayim lav strafe ki klal. Just burning, expiring the neshama by burning, that is not considered an act of sreifa. The Torah tries to teach us that we have to try to be as painless in the misa. We would suggest the way to accomplish v'hafta l'reacha kamoicha is by lapish le'chavile zmeris ka'echa de listra flagel. We should put on a lot of fuel, a lot of wood, so we should get burnt quickly. Kamashvon. That's why the Torah had to teach us to gzeirah shava, that this is a valid act of sreifa. So the Mefarshim explain, since we've mentioned the parish of Nodava Viyu, and particularly says the Mashal, since according to the Mandama that we just learned, the Bnei Aaron were burnt completely, so the question is, why were they deserving of such a horrible death? Says the Gemara, because V'kvar Hayi Moshe V'Aaron Mehalchem B'Derech, because Moshe and Aaron were walking on the road, and Nadav and Avihu were walking behind them, and all of Klal Yisrael were following Nadav and Avihu. Amalei Nadav l'Avihu. So Nadav said to Avihu, Emasa Yimusa Shnei Zekeinim Alolu, when will these two, Moshe and Aaron, pass away? And you and I will become the leaders of the generation. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hanira Mikavis Mi. Let's see who will bury whom. Amra Papa, it says, Rapapa Hainad Amri Inchi, this is what people say, the Fishi Gemili Savi, the Tina Mishri the Hugni. There are many old camels that carry the hides of young ones. Here too, Moshe and Aaron ended up burying Nadav and Avihu. Now we understand, explained the Mefarshim, why we learned in the Gemara previously, there were four shafts of fire, four chutin, two by Nadav and two for Avihu, one for the cover of Moshe, and one for the covered of Aaron. Mefarshim explained that Nadav and Avihu, we need to understand Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu were great tzaddikim. How did they come to make this mistake? So one pshat that I saw is that the Gemara says, Kala Oyla Gdula, Meichel Kala Avanaisov, somebody that gets a promotion had Mechilas Avoinus, and Nadav and Avihu were anxious to have Mechilas Avoinus. Another pshat that I saw from the Chiddush Erim, that the mistake that Nadav and Avihu made was that they thought that Moshe and Aaron were older people, and they didn't understand the people of their generation. And therefore they thought that they were, even though that certainly Moshe and Aaron, they recognized, were much greater than they were, they felt that they, Nadav and Avihu, should take over the leadership of the generation, because they understood the mentality of the people of the generation. But that is an inappropriate approach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that the Ziknei Hadar should be the leaders of the generation. The Steipler in the Sefer Birchas Peretz makes a very interesting observation. He says, we know there are many Gemaras and many Midrashim that speak about the Avera that Nadav and Avihu did. They brought an Ezorah, they brought a fire that they weren't supposed to. That they came into the Beis HaMikdash when they had drunk wine. Many Midrashim. This Avera that they wanted to take over the leadership position, compared to all of those other Gemaras, is not so significant. So why is our Gemara saying that this is why they got this terrible punishment? Explains the Stipler that this Avera in itself would not have caused that they should die. Avada, they died because of the different Gemaras and Midrashim that explain what their Aveira was. However, says the Stipler, even if they were sentenced to death, they should not have been sentenced to such a gruesome death. Why were they sentenced to such a gruesome death that they were completely burnt? The reason is, says the Stipler, because they showed in themselves geus, that they were Bali Gaiva, that they wanted to take over the leadership. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has this particular contempt for arrogance, did not have any rachmanis, and they were completely burned. That there was no rachmanis in the death. One more vart from the Chidah. I saw a very nice vart from the Chidah. If we think about the incident of Nadav and Avihu, it was Nadav who made this comment to Avihu, and all Avihu did was agree. From here we see, says the Chidah, that just agreeing shtika kaidah is considered a significant aveira. Says the Chidah, with this we could understand a medrash pliya. The medrash says that when Eov saw the story of Nadav and Avihu, he said, "Ach af lezois yechrad libi." Explains the Chidah. What was Eov's sin? That when Paroi said, "Kol aben," the Paroi wanted to destroy the Kol ben Hayilah Hayor Tishlechu. Yisroi ran away. Avihu remained silent, and Bilam agreed. So Eov always thought that remaining silent isn't that bad. But now he saw that all Avihu did was just remain silent. And look what a punishment that Avihu got for just remaining silent. When he saw what the punishment for remaining silent is, he said, "Af lezois yechred libi." How does an Amaretz look at Tamut Chochem? Betchila, at the beginning, Doimel Kitin Shalzov. He looks like gold. Sipri Himenu, if they start having idle conversation, Doimel Kitin Shalkesev. His value goes down in the eyes of the Maratzim. They looks only like silver. Nenemine, once he accepts gift from him, Doimel Kitin Shalcheres. That the characteristic of earthenware is the kivin shenishba shuvein leitakana, once it's broken, it cannot be fixed. And that, explained in the Farshim, was the lesson of Das Kairach, that's how Kairach and his people ended up looking by the Amaratzim. Very nice vart from the Divrei Shol. The Divrei Shol says that we know that when Eliezer came to the home of Besuel and Lovin, he says, "Loi oichel ara asher imdibarti." He refused to eat. The question is, why did he refuse to eat? Because Eliezer knew what our Gemara says. That once an Talmud Chacham starts socializing with Amoritz, his value goes down in the eyes of the Amoritz. And Eliezer, in order to avoid that, tried to minimize socializing with them. Says the Gemara, Imrsa bas toy bas koin shezun tzavi. She was a woman, it was a bas koin who acted immorally. He surrounded her with bundles of branches and burnt her. He made two mistakes. He made a mistake with Rav Masna, that Rav Masna said that the way Mises is supposed to be done is by pouring lead. So asked the Rishonim, He didn't make a mistake with Ramasna. He made a mistake with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that's the way. Why are we attributing it to Ramasna? So the Yad Rama explains, because it's Ramasna who explains the Psukim, why that is the din of the Mishnah. Or, answers the Ran, that he, Rav Chama, could have always said that he follows the opinion of Rav Elazar, but Rav Masna's opinion he certainly doesn't follow. And furthermore, Vitav Tanya, he made another mistake, because the pasuk says Vasal Kanav Alavim Asher for the Shiyah B'Yamim, to teach us Bzman Shiyesh Koyin, when the Kahanim are doing the Avoid in the base of Migdash, that's when Yesh Mishpat. However, Bzman Shein Koyin, when the Kahanim are not doing the Avoid in the base of Migdash, Ein Mishpat. Furthermore, Taisha says the halach is only when the Sanhedrin is sitting in the Lishkas Hagazis are Dala Mises Bezdin administered. Now, at that time, the Sanhedrin was no longer in the Lishkas Hagazis. Amr Blazer of Tzadik Masav Bas Koin Shazinsa. There was an incident with Bas Koin who was Mizana. Amr Yosef Bezdin should strike him Hava. So we learned that the Rabbanan told him that they burnt her by putting her wood around her, not by pouring lead. They said it was a Bezdin of Tzadikim, and that's how they came to make the mistake. Says the Gemara, was this the dialogue between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim? But Tanya, we learned another brisa. Amr Rabbi Elazar bet Tzadik, Zichroni kishisa tani gemurka v'kseifa shel Abba. I recall when I was a child going on my father's shoulders. V'vi bas kain shazinsa, they brought a bas kain that was mezana. V'kifu chavil is merz v'sarfua. Amr loy katna yisa, you were a child at that time. V'emir vi in rayim in a katna, we can't bring a raya from a katna. So what is the correct incident? Says the Marsh, name my smile, there were two stories. One, they told him you were cotton, and one, they said it was a Bezdin Shot Stoikim. Ask the Gemara, hi, Omeliberation, which incident happened first? Ilema Hokamais Omeliberation, the incident discussed in our Mishnah that they said it was a Bezdin of Stoikim. Says the Gemara, Omel Godl, Vloyach Chabay, the man makes sense. If he said testimony what he saw as a Godl, and they still they ignored it, so Omelai cotton, so he's going to say testimony what he saw as a katam ashikhabay, and they're going to pay attention. Says the Mar Alahokamalay Rasha, it must be the incident quoted in the Brisa happened first, to which they told him, Amalay Kotna Yisa, you were cotton then, and therefore we're not going to accept your testimony. And then he told him another incident that happened when he was a godl, assuming that was more reliable testimony, to which they told him, they weren't Bekiyim, they would strike him, and we can't trust what they said. Continues the Mishnah. Mitzvahs Hanarogim. How was Herig administered? They would decapitate him with a sword, just like the government executes people. It's terrible, disgraceful that he should be decapitated that way because he falls to the ground from a standing position. They would put his head on a block for kofitz, and they would chop it off with an axe. So they said to him, since an axe is not as sharp as a sword and it doesn't make a clean cut, that's even a bigger nivel. Tanya. I am aware that it's a misa menuvelis. What should I do? And we can't kill a person the way the government kills. So now we understand that it's not the reason of Yehuda was disagreed with the Chachamim wasn't because of nivel. They disagreed because it was a concept of b'chukaseim loyseleichu. Rabbanan. Says the Rabbanan, Kivin Diksiv Sai Baraisa. Since the Torah clearly teaches us that this is one of the ways Misa is administered, Loimen Naikum Gemrinin, then it's not considered Chukas Ha'akum. Dilei Taimachi, if we will not say so, Hadatanya, it says in the Baraisa, Sarfan Amalochim, we burn the clothing of a king after he dies, Loimen Daki Amari, it's not considered Daki Amari. So the question comes up again. Heichis arfinon. How can we do so? V'ksiv v'chukaseim loyseleichu. What is the answer? Elkiv l'ksiv sreif baraisa. Since the Torah says, the sreifa, Tiksiv, it says regarding Tzidkiyo, Uvimisrufas Avasecha Yisrufu, they're going to burn your clothing like they burnt the clothing of your forefathers. It's not we're learning from the Goyim. Hachnami Kivin Tiksiv Saif Baraisa. Since the Torah says Saif, Laminaikum Gemina, it's not considered we learn from them. Just to quickly summarize what is considered Tchukas Akum, the Ran, the Ramah, the Beis Yosef all say that it has to be two things. It has to be thing a choik, something that doesn't have an explanation, and has to be akum, that it has to be something that we're trying to just emulate their actions. If those two conditions aren't met, it's not considered chukas akum. Ask the Gemara, Vadatani, Bidav Perkin, Vadatna, Perkin, the halacha that we're going to learn. Elahin Arogim, Haritseach, Vanchi Enedachas. Bishlam Iranidachas, we know get saif, because the Torah uses the words ksibulufi charif. El ritzayach minolon, how do we know the ritzayach get saif? The Tanya answers the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, nokeim yinokeim. The Torah says if somebody kills an Ever Kanani, nokeim yinokeim, and says the Bryce and the Kimazu any day mahu. I don't know how this nekim is fulfilled. Kshoyim v'alveisi aleichem cherev nekemes nekam bris have oima nekim as usayif. From here we learn that that's the way nekim means misasayif. Ask the Gemara v'ayim v'dabar alei mivris. Perhaps it means that it should be stabbed. Answers the Gemara lefi charev ksiv, which means by the edge, sliced, not stabbed. V'ayim v'dabar alei gistro, maybe means it should be cut in half. Answers the Gemara, Amr Rav Nachman, Amr Rav Barvu, Amr Kro, V'haftal Rach, Kamaicha, Baror Lo Misa Yofa, cutting him in half is certainly not a Misa Yofa. Asks the Gemara, Ashkechan the Katal Avda, but that pasuk speaks about when an Eved Kanani is killed. How do we know that this is the punishment when a Bar Chayim is killed, Menale? Says the Gemara, V'lav Kavach Chayimah. Katal Avda, if somebody killed an Eved Kanani, B'sayif, then he gets Misa Sayif. Bar Chayrim, if he kills a Bar Chayrim, should he get a less severe Misa of Chenek? Ask the Gemara, Hanich Lamanda Makenakal. According to the opinion that says Chenek is considered more lenient Misa, we understand this. Elamandam, but according to the Mandam that we learned at the beginning of the parak, of Shimon's opinion, the Chenek is Chomer, perhaps if you kill a Bar Chayrim, the Misa should not be Sayif, rather it should be Chenek. Answers the Gemara Nafli Meditanya. Va'ata tedvar hadam hanoki mikabarcha. Huk shikol hoshvei domim legarufa. They're all compared to eglarufa. Ma'ala halon. Just like the eglarufa is b'tsayif minatzavar. Afkan, any murderer is killed b'tsayif minatzavar. Ask the Gemara if we're going to compare it to eglarufa. Ima'ala halon. He's killed b'kupitz umemil oirif with an axe from the back of the neck. So perhaps here too he should be killed. The kupitz or mol oirif. Arav Nachman, Arav Avu, Amakra. The haftlerach kmach barala meisi yofa. A kupitz or mol oirif is certainly not that. Mitzvahs hanachnokim. How is chenek administered? Hay meshakanos a bezevel arak voisov. They put him into manure up to his knees. Vnoisusu the kashla toicharaka v'karchat savaroi. They put a hard material inside a soft material. Zem mashach etzloi, zem mashach etzloi. The two aidim pull until achiyatzu nafshi yifayis yaitzus until he's strangled. Tanabon ish prat lekotin. Ashiyinafes aishes ish prat leaishes cotton. If the wife of a cotton is not considered an aishes ish, aishes ra'eu prat leaishes acherim. The wife of an akum is not considered an aishes ish, although the rishonim clearly indicate that one is not allowed to have relations with the wife of an akum. It's just not achiv misa. Musi mus bechenik. At the oim bechenik, is it perhaps chenik? Or ain elach beachas kol misa amurz b'tar? Perhaps one of the other misas bezdin. Amarta. The answer is kol makom shenem misa b'tar stam. Wherever the Torah uses the word misa without identifying what type of misa, and at the rishoy l'masha l'hachmala alakala, we always have to explain it most lenient way. Divrei Rav Yoshia, and chenik is the most lenient misa. Rav Yonasan follows the opinion of Rav Shimon that says that actually hereg Saif is the most lenient Misa. So that can't be the reason why Chenek is given here. He says a different pshat. A kol Misa amur b'tayrus tam, when the Torah doesn't identify what type of Misa should be administered, the regular type of Misa means Chenek. And Rabbi Omer, and Rabbi explains Rabbi Yonason's opinion. Nema Misa b'day Shemayim, v'nema Misa b'day Adam. Ma Misa amur b'day Shemayim is a Misa Shem by Rishim. Regular death, there's no sign that the outward sign of death. Ask Misa Amur B'day Adam, it means Misa Shem by Rishim. Ask the Gemara Eimus Sreifa, maybe it means Sreifa, which we learned earlier in our shir, is a Misa that also Eim by Rishim, because they only pour the lead in, and there's no Rishim of the death. Answers the Gemara, Midam Rachman Abbas Koyin B'Sreifa, since the Torah singles out that Abbas Koyin gets Sreifa, everybody else, obviously, Labas Reifa, he doesn't get Sreifa. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Yonason, can refer to Rabbi Tamar. Rabbi explained Rabbi Yonason's reasoning why Stam Misa means Chenek. El Rabbi Oishia, my dike Chenek Ba'olim. According to Rabbi Oishia, from where do we know that Chenek is even one of the four Misas Bezdin? Eima Saif, maybe the regular Misa that the Torah means is Saif, and there is no Misas Chenek at all. Answers Rava, Arba Mises Gemar Gemirlu. They had a Kabbalah, they had a Masari from Moshe Rabbeinu, that there are Arba Mises Bezdin. So, says the Gemar, what did Rabbi Yonason mean when he said, Loibim Neshi Kala? Says the Gemar, as we learned earlier, Kamefa gave a pluck to Rabbi Shimon Rabbonin. Rabbi Yonason is of the opinion that Chenek is not the most lenient Misa. So that can't be the reason why we give Chenek under normal situations. It must be because of Rebbe's explanation, the Gzeirus Shava the Rebbe learned, whereas Rabbi Oishia disagrees, and Rabbi Oishia says the Chenek, he holds like the Rabbanon, the Chenek is the most lenient Misa, and in the absence of the Torah telling us a different punishment, we give the most lenient punishment, which is Chenek.